pray as we start this session, and then we will jump right in. Dear Lord, we just want to take a moment and thank you for the difference you've made in our lives, for the people who've invested in us, whether it be teachers or parents or friends, and the fact that we have been able to start a relationship with you. But Lord, we also pray that you help us to continue that process, and that as we invest in others, whether it's children or teens or adults, that we have an eternal perspective and think of the eternal impact that we can have on their lives through your power in ours. In your name, amen. Let me turn this off real quick. Okay, we are on the last session. Congratulations, we made it to the end. And we're going to talk about sharing the gospel with children. And we need to understand first kind of what is the gospel and what's the process that a person goes through as they become a Christian and as they grow as a Christian. So if you have a Bible, I'd like to ask you to open it up. We're going to look at the passage Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10, and we'll break it up into different sections. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, and then there's a couple other passages I just want to reference, and I've got them listed here on your handout. The main idea is that there's a period of time before a person becomes a Christian, and then there's a period of time where they're considering the gospel, they're turning their lives to God, and then there's a period of time afterward. I think it's important to recognize that. So if I could have one person read verses 1 through 3 of Ephesians chapter 2. Anybody who's got it, go ahead and read it out loud.
As for you, you were dead in your transgression and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, who is now at work in you, those who are disobedient. All of us also live among them.
All right, thank you. So in one sense, there's the before we're saved. It talks about we are seen as sinners. God sees us as sinners. We are subject to God's wrath. And it says just like everyone else. All of humans are like this. But then there's the next part is where you're exposed to the gospel. You find out about it and you respond to it. Let me have somebody read verses 4 through 9. 4 through 9. A different person? Do you have it? Okay. Ephesians 2, 4 through 9.
But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Till 9?
Till 9, yes.
For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and it is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast.
Great. And then the last verse shows that once you get saved, that's not the end of the journey. That's more of like the beginning of a life. Can I ask somebody to read just verse 10?
For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Great. Thank you very much. So you can see these three time periods in a person's life. You are far from God. You respond to the gospel, and then you are growing as a Christian, you're serving him as his masterpiece. We're doing the good things that God prepared for us to do. Now there's a few other passages related to this. As far as responding to the gospel, does everybody accept the gospel when they hear it? Does everybody accept the gospel? Does everybody respond, say, yes, I want to believe in Jesus? No, not everybody. And maybe some people do, but not at first. And the passage I've got there, Matthew 13, that's the story of where the farmer is throwing the seeds on the ground, and some of it lands on good soil, but some of it lands on the road and on the thorns and on the rocks. And the passage, of course, is pointing out that some people respond differently. Another thing is, during the third section, living the Christian life, 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says that we are a new creation. The old is gone. The new is come. And the idea is that we have a new life and a new purpose. The New Testament often talks about, you know, putting off the old self and putting on the new self to live in righteousness for God. And then Romans 12, 1 and 2, I'm sure you are familiar with that. The idea is that we have been, again, started a new life, and our minds should be transformed, and we're following the will of God. Now, on the right column, what I've listed is some things that are not quite as theological. The left side is more of the theological. The right side is more of the practical. Now, people come from different backgrounds. Our parents raised us differently. And so their parenting styles may have influenced what we believed before becoming a Christian. Our religious background may have been different based on where you grew up, based on the family that you were in, maybe the friends that you had, the media that you watched or listened to. All of that is going to be influencing who you were before you became a Christian. And then in the next step, as you've heard the gospel, some people quickly accept it. Some people are skeptical at first. They have a lot of questions. They're not sure. And then eventually they accept it. And some people never accept it in their lifetime. Now, in the third section, we have the different ways that people grow, different influences that they have. Some of us have had mentors. Some of us have been growing through using spiritual disciplines. And others of us have been investing in people, making more disciples by being a mentor. So we've either had a mentor or we've been a mentor. Maybe we've been attending classes in a certain topic or at our church, and maybe we've been reading books. Many different ways that we can grow, and we've been growing differently. And so what I want to ask you guys to do for a moment is think about this for yourself. Is think about the first three questions that I've got. What is one thing that happened before you became a Christian that later had a positive or negative effect on your decision to accept Christ? So I'd like you to discuss that with one or two other people. And then when you're done, move on to the next one. One thing that you remember about your response to the gospel. And then one factor that helped you grow as a Christian after getting saved. So let me give you an example of what I'm looking for. For number one, for myself, I grew up in a family. We went to church every week. We heard the gospel at church every week. And I knew what the gospel was. But nobody really came to me personally and said, "Hey, Ben, what do you think about this? Are you ready to accept the Lord?" And nobody really came to ask me. And so I didn't accept the gospel until I was like 13 years old. When I could have, when I was 5, you know, I was hearing it for all those years. Here's another example. Number two, when I responded to the gospel, it was at camp. And the speaker was challenging us to, if we weren't sure that we were a Christian, tonight you can make sure. And you can commit your life to God. And as part of that, I remember, yes, I want to do it tonight. And it was because of what he said. And then number three, what's one factor that's helped me grow? I think one huge factor has been watching Christians around me. They're older Christians and how they live, how they pray, how they read the Bible. And I want to grow and be more like them. Okay? So that's kind of what I'm looking for. Just a short answer. Go ahead and get into groups with like one or two other people and share some of those things. Okay? Go ahead.